As I mentioned a moment ago in my announcements, our Sunday school lessons in the month of January, the theme is intentional Christianity. And as I was thinking about my message for this morning, studying my Sunday school lesson, it sort of all ran together, came together. Everything in the Christian life has to be intentional. Everything in the Christian life you have to do on purpose. You don't become a better Christian by coasting or drifting into it. Paul, in those two very familiar verses of Scripture that we read, he said, I haven't yet apprehended. In other words, I haven't reached the stage in my Christian life where I need to be yet. Now, I haven't got there. He said, I've got a target. He talks about that mark for the prize of the high calling that he talks about there in verse 14. And he says, I'm pressing toward that mark. I'm reaching forth. I'm reaching out to that place where I want to get. I'm pressing toward that mark. And here's the statement I want to start my message with this morning. If you are coasting in your Christian life, then you're probably backsliding. If you are coasting or just drifting in your Christian life and not doing things on purpose, you are probably backsliding in your Christian life. Now, let me illustrate what I want to illustrate that before I get into my message. I get these three guys right here. Jerry, can you stand up without it hurting your leg? Okay, you three guys come, and Jerry, you get down there. Micah, you stand in the middle, and Tony, you get over here on this side. All right, now let me show you what I'm talking about. We're going to let Tony represent Jesus this morning. I know bad typecasting, but he's the best. No, I'm just kidding. But we're going to let him represent Jesus. We're going to let Jerry represent the world, and we're going to let Micah represent us as Christians, okay? And here's what I'm talking about. Our goal as a Christian, our mark as a Christian is to be as much like Jesus as we can. And so our objective, our target is to move away from the world and move in that direction to be like Jesus. But here's the deal. Now, so Micah is the Christian that represents all of us. I'm going to represent the current. I'm going to represent the pressure or the pull that the world has on all of us. You say, well, I've been born again. The world doesn't have any pull on me. Oh, you still have that old man living inside of you. When you got saved, you got a new nature, but the old guy didn't move out. He's still in there. That nature that we were born with that likes the things of the world. And Micah is a new creature in Christ because he's been saved. But if he's not pressing toward that mark, if he's just trying to coast in his Christianity, here's what's happening. The world and the old man that lives inside of him is pushing back. Now, if he wants to, on purpose, be a Christian, he can overcome this nature. Because what does the Bible say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if he wants to, he can make pressure. I should have picked somebody smaller. But if he wants to, he can make progress toward being like Christ. But he has to do it on purpose. Because if he just stands there and says, well, I'll just sort of drift this way. I'll just sort of let the current and the eddies carry me along to be like Christ. No. They're not moving us in that direction. They're moving us in this direction. Okay, now if you guys just would sit down there right where you are just for a second, and I'll use you again in just a second. This is, of course, the first Sunday in 2005. It's the second day of the year, and it's the time of year where many people make assessments. And again, I won't have them stand up, but if we put ourselves all on this scale of being like Jesus, and if the world's over here on this side, what we need to do often in the beginning of the new year is a good time to do it, is assess where we are. Tony, stand up again for a minute, and Jerry, stand up just for a second. I won't use you, Mike. I'll just use myself for now. In other words, where am I on this scale? Am I, and how am I compared to where I was last year at this time? I mean, when 2004 was just starting, was I over here? And now 2005 and started. Have I made progress? Am I more like Jesus than I was a year ago? And I think it's proper that we assess where we are in our Christian walk. I think Paul did it in those two verses. He says, I know where I am. And I can tell you, I haven't apprehended yet. I haven't arrived yet. I've got that mark. I've got Jesus in front of me. I'm looking unto him. And he says, I want to know him. In fact, he says, I count all things but dung. I count the loss of everything I have so that I can know Christ. I want to know more about him. I want to be more like him. And we in our Christian lives, okay, guys, thanks, you can sit down. We in our Christian life need to take that assessment. Am I more like Jesus today than I was last year at this time? Am I more like Jesus at the beginning of January than I was at the beginning of December of last year? And this morning, I want to preach, and we should all have that mark. We should all have that objective in our life to be more like Christ. And this morning, I want to preach a sermon I've entitled 2005 Marks, Part 1. Now, part one implies part two, and this morning I'm going to talk about eight different marks that we as Christians should have in our life. Eight different things that if we'll do, will make us more like Jesus and as individuals. Now, I'm going to preach part two, Lord willing, of this message tonight and talk about the church. How God has a church that he wants us to be and assessing where we are and things that we need to do to move in that direction. But this morning, I want to talk to us as individuals. And again, I want to mention eight things that if we'll do, will make us more like Christ, move us in that direction. The first one is salvation. Salvation. Jesus is the Son of God. And if you want to be like Jesus, you have to get in to the family of God. You have no hope of being like Christ without getting saved. You say, well, I'm a member of the human race. Doesn't that make me part of God's family? No, 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 no. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus on that Judean night so long ago, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Just because you're a member of the human race doesn't make you part of God's family. Here's why. We're all sinners. We talked about that old man that we were born with, and some of you chuckled because you live with that old man every single day. And you know what that old man tempts you to do? And we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As I measure myself, not against Jerry, not against Micah, not against Tony, I might be pretty good compared to these three guys. Or they might be pretty good compared to me. But we're not to measure ourselves against ourselves. The Bible says that's foolishness. The Bible says we need to measure ourselves against the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I do that, I come up short. I'm short of that glory. That makes me a sinner. And the Bible says that there's a penalty for sin, and that sin is separation from God. For the wages of sin is death. Many people read that verse and they say, well, I'm not dead yet, but you are spiritually if you don't know Christ. In the book of Genesis, God said to Adam, you eat that fruit, you're going to die. Adam ate the fruit. He lived hundreds of years after he ate the fruit. But he died spiritually because when he ate the fruit, he was kicked out of the garden and separated from God. And that's what happens to us. Because we're sinners, we're separated from God. But I got good news for you this morning. I hope every Sunday of this year to be able to share the same good news with you. God loved us and he paid the price for our sin. When we were sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. Not when we deserved it, not when we sort of headed that way. When we were sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. Because he so loved us, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Bible says that if we put our belief in him, if we trust in him, he'll give us that gift of life. For the gift of God is everlasting, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you want to get on, if you want to get on this scale, if you're going to start making progress toward being like Jesus, the first thing you have to do is get saved. You have to become part of the family of God. And the only way to do that is to come to Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. No man gets into the family of God. Nobody becomes a member of that circle that's called the church, that's called the family of God, without coming through Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, I don't know of a better day than the first Sunday in 2005 to receive Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I didn't come prepared to do it. God will take you just like you are. Just like you are. You don't have to make any preparation. You don't have to, as Brother Leonard was talking about on Sunday, you don't have to turn over a new leaf. He'll take the old leaf, praise God. He'll take you just like you are. And you need to come if you're not saved this morning and receive Christ as your Savior. There's a second thing that makes us more like Jesus, and that's baptism. You've heard me say many, many times as I've stood in the baptistry, baptism is not necessary for salvation. The thief on the cross is in heaven this morning, and I read nowhere he came down and was baptized before he went to heaven. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but baptism identifies you with Jesus Christ. That's why I say when we baptize, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Jesus was baptized. He went to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing. John said, hey, I have need to be baptized of you, and you want me to baptize you? I know who you are. You're the Lamb of God. You're the Son of God. Jesus said, no, I'm setting a pattern. I'm setting an example. I want you to baptize me because I want to set the example for everybody that comes after me. I want them to be baptized. Baptism is the first step of obedience in the Christian life. And if Jesus felt it was necessary for him to be baptized, how can any of us say, well, if it's not necessary for salvation, I don't see why I need to do it? And I encourage you this morning, if you're a Christian and you've never been baptized, you may have been a Christian for years and years and years. That's okay. Nobody's going to hold it against you. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. If you have never been baptized, I encourage you to start the year off right. We don't have the tank filled this morning, but we'll fill it for next week. And if you've never been baptized, you need to come and submit yourself for believer's baptism, identifying with Jesus Christ. You're never going to make any progress toward being more like him until you take that first step of obedience, and that's to get baptized. Now, I realize that the majority of people in this room this morning are saved and baptized. Glory to God for that. Again, if you're here and not, I can't think of a better day to get both of them settled. Again, come, if you're here today and you're not saved, you just need to make a decision with that little faith that God has given to every person. I'm just going to believe what this book says. I'm going to believe what the preacher says. I'm going to believe what this church says, that I'm a sinner and that Jesus saved me. And I'm going to trust him. You say, well, I don't know how to feel. You don't have to feel a certain way. This is a decision of the will. It's you saying, I will trust what this book says and receive Christ. And it's the same thing. Baptism. You don't drift in the baptism. You don't sort of float in the baptism. You have to make a decision. You have to do it on purpose. Now, I want to mention six other things that maybe those first two things don't apply to you because you've already been saved and you've been baptized, but I want to mention six other things that we can do to be more like Jesus. And before I mention these six other things, I want to talk to you just for a second about these marks, about setting marks in your life. A lot of people say, well, I just, because some of these things are going to involve numbers, okay? And many people say, well, I don't think God is concerned about numbers. Well, how can you read the Bible and think God's not concerned about numbers? Turn over to the book of Numbers. I mean, he's got a book in the Bible called Numbers. And if you've never read the book of Numbers, there's a lot of things that God keeps track of in the book of Numbers. I mean, he counts things. And I think it's I think God is pleased when we keep track of things. And I think God is pleased when we set marks or goals in our life, that goals that will make us more like Jesus. I think he's pleased when we set those kind of goals and measure ourselves against those goals. I want to say some things about goals. And I don't know if you believe in New Year's resolutions. I'm not calling them New Year's resolutions this morning because New Year's resolutions, for the most part, don't last very long. I'm talking about marks. I'm talking about road marks or signposts that we set up in our Christian walk that says, hey, I'm reaching forth to that one. I'm pressing toward that one. If I can achieve that one, it will make me more like Jesus. And as you set these marks, I want to encourage you, first of all, well, here, let me just say it. I want you to set smart marks. Smart marks. Here's what I mean by smart marks. I want you to make it specific. I don't want you to just say, well, I want to be more like Jesus. Yeah, I know that's what you want to do, but I don't want you to set a mark like that. I want you to be specific. I want it to be measurable. You need to be able to measure it. All right, so SMART, S-M, specific, measurable, actionable. Don't set a mark that you can't do anything about. Make it something that you can do. I mean, don't look, I can set a lot of marks for Adam, but I can't make those happen in his life. The only ones that I can make happen are the ones in my life. R, make them realistic. If you're only doing something 25% of the time, don't set a goal to do it 100% of the time. That's not realistic. But T, make them tough. If you're operating at 25%, don't set your goal at 100%. That's not realistic. But don't set it at 26% either. That's not very tough. So as you set these marks and these six things that I'm going to talk about next, make them smart marks. All right, here's what they are. And I got to hurry because I'm almost out of time. The third one, after salvation and baptism, is the Bible. It says in the book of Exodus, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me just ask you a question. Answer it to yourself. How much did you read the Bible in 2004? How much time did you spend reading the Bible? How many times did you read the Bible through? And here's the more important question, and I think you ought to answer that question, how you did in 2004, but here's the more important question. What are you going to do in 2005? Jesus was the Word of God. He embodied the Word of God. In the book of John, it talks about him as being the Word of God. How can we hope to be more like him if we don't spend time in this book? And again, I'll tell you, you will just not coast into reading the Bible. You will not drift into reading the Bible. If you do not do it on purpose, you will not do it. If you don't set a schedule, if you don't work to keep that schedule, I mean, Satan will throw so many things in the way, everything will take the place of reading the Bible if you do not do it on purpose. And I think you ought to have a mark in your life. I'm going to read the Bible 15 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day. And it ought to be specific like that. Maybe you want to say, I'm going to read the Bible through three times this year. But set a specific mark and then measure yourself against that mark. Keep track, keep record. So that you can tell if you're hitting the mark. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I wrote it down, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. There's something sweet that happens in your soul when you set a spiritual mark in your life and you hit that mark. There's something sweet that happens inside of you. And I think every single one of us, pastor included, ought to set some marks in our life about how much we're going to read the Bible in 2005. That will make us more like Christ. Now again, I encourage you, don't just say, well, I'm going to read my Bible more. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to read the Bible more. Well, what exactly does that mean? And you can't answer that question, and neither can I. I'm going to read it more too. And I can get to the end, if that's my goal, I can get to the end of 2005 and I can say, I read it more. And I won't know any difference and neither will you. But if I set a specific goal, I read the Bible through 13 times this year. I've set a goal to get 20 next year. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. But I had enough spare time that I spent way too much time watching TV, way too much time doing other things, and I think I can get through the Bible 20 times in the year 2005. I don't know. That's going to be my mark. And I'm going to measure myself against that. Now, my mark shouldn't be your mark. Set your own mark. Maybe one time through will be better than you did in 2004. Maybe three times through would be better than you did in 2004. But set a mark and measure yourself against that mark. Fourth thing, prayer. Bible says, pray without ceasing. The most neglected thing in the Christian life, I think, is prayer. I read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where oftentimes Jesus got by himself and spent time in prayer. Sometimes early in the morning, sometimes late at night, sometimes in the middle of the day. And again, I'll ask you the question as you look forward to 2005. How much time did you spend in prayer in 2004? How much time are you going to spend in 2005? And again, it's easy for us to say, well, I'm going to spend more time in prayer. Well, how do you know if you're going to get there or not? If you don't set a goal. Say, well, how can you set a goal in prayer? I don't care if you do it in time. I don't care if you do it in a prayer list that says, hey, Brother Larry puts a prayer list in the bulletin, and I apologize we didn't have it updated this week. I didn't get a chance to call him, but maybe you take this prayer list and say, hey, here's how I'm going to measure it. Every day I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray out loud for 20 names that are on this prayer list. And I'm going to do it every single day. Maybe not the same 20 names. Maybe just go down and check them off. But I'm going to pray for 20 names on this list every day. And I'm going to put a little ticky mark on the calendar when I do it. So that when I get to the end of the month or when I get to the end of the quarter, I can look about how I'm doing against the mark. If Jesus spent time every day in prayer, how do we think we can go a day or a week or a month without spending time in prayer and be like him? We can't. We can't. Prayer. The fifth thing, and I'm going to have to really hurry because I need to quit in the next couple minutes, is church. Coming to church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. How many times did you come to church in 2004? How many times are you going to come in 2005? Without special meetings, here's how I figure it. You got 208 chances to come to church. You got Sunday school, you got church in the morning, you got church at night, and you got prayer meeting. 52 weeks times 4 is 208 times. Just put a little, make yourself a little calendar. Put a little X. Came to Sunday school, came to church, came to prayer meeting. Count them up. Set a goal. How many times did you miss in 2004? Most of us don't know. How many times are you going to come in 2005? I'll tell you what, unless you have a mark, you will not coast into coming to church. Satan throws everything in the way of coming to this place. And like I said in my announcements, I don't think you can get too much of the Bible. I don't think you can overdose on the Bible. I don't think you can get sick by having too much of the Bible. I know some of you may say, well, boy, if I came on Sunday night and Wednesday night, people would think I'm a fanatic. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Let them think you're a fanatic. Get more of the Bible. You get more. I tell you what, I've never known anybody that's been hurt by getting too much of the Bible. And you get the Bible. I tell you what, if we ever get to the place where we're doing something other than the Bible, then we ought to close this place down. But if we're preaching the Bible, if we're teaching the Bible, then every time the doors are open, we ought to be here. Set a mark. Set a mark as far as church attendance. Number six, set a mark when it comes to giving. In the book of Malachi, it says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Let me remind you, at the beginning of the year, a tithe is 10% of your increase, 10% of your gross. An offering is over 10%. How much did you give in 2004? Brother Larry's he has the tithing slips ready, but he left them at home, and he'll have them next week. He's the only one that knows. I have no idea how much anybody gives. That's why I can preach like this in complete freedom. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I assume that you're all givers. But here's what I encourage you to do. Get your tithing slip. Take it and compare it to your paycheck. Did you make the 10%? Did you give over the 10%? That's between you and God. Nobody else knows. You and God. Set a mark. Hey, I gave 11% in 2004. I'm going to go for 13% in 2005. Set a mark. Measure yourself against that mark. Witnessing, number 7. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. How many tracts did you pass out last year? How many people did you tell about Jesus? Angie sang the song, people need the Lord. That's what this whole world needs. It needs a good dose of Jesus Christ. It needs a good dose of salvation. It needs a good dose of Christianity. How many people did we give a tract to? How many people did we tell about Jesus? How many people did we invite to church? Say, well, I'm going to do better next year. Well, keep track of it. Set a mark. I think it'd be very feasible for some people to say, hey, this year in 2005, I'm going to make sure that I invite at least 100 people to come to church. Or I'm going to give out 100 gospel tracts. See, just grab 100. We got more in the closet of some of them, and if we run out of tracts, I'll tell you what, I'd rather spend money on tracts than just about anything else I know. Gospel tracts. Take tracts. Pass them out. set a mark. And then, number 8, and I quickly close. Kindness. Kindness. Be ye kind one to another. How many acts of kindness have you done in 2004? How many acts of kindness are you going to do in 2005? There's a whole hurting world out there. A whole hurting world. People need to know that somebody else cares. People need to know that somebody else thinking about them. And in 2005, we ought to set some marks about how we're going to be kind. Jesus was. You can't help but open the pages of the gospel and find page after page, instant after instant, example after example, where the Savior was kind to other people. And if we're going to be more like Him, we've got to do that. Okay, you guys stand up one more time. I'm going to close. Here it is. Where are you? Not you guys, these three, sorry. We're almost there, just not quite. Here's the example. Here's the world, here's Christ. Our objective as a Christian is to be more like Him. Every single one of us ought to have that as our target. I want to be more like Him. But don't just say it like that. Don't leave it to generalities. Set some specifics. Set some marks in your life so that you can say like Paul, I'm reaching out to those marks. I'm pressing toward those marks because I want to be more like Jesus Christ. Thanks, guys. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the example that we have in the Apostle Paul, a wonderful, wonderful Christian, and yet he hadn't arrived. He hadn't apprehended. He hadn't reached that stage in his life where he could say, hey, I'm exactly where I want to be. And I pray, Father, that you would give us that same hunger in our life. Help us to never think we've attained. Help us to never think that we've already arrived. Help us to reach out toward those marks in our life that will make us more like Jesus. Father, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray right now, in the next few moments, would be the time that they'd see themselves as a sinner, see that the only hope that they have, not only for life, but for eternity, is to know Jesus as their Savior. And in the next few moments, they would receive Jesus. They would make that decision of their will. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I'm going to believe what the preacher talked about. I'm going to believe what this church stands for, that salvation comes no other way than through Jesus Christ. And this morning, I pray you'd help them to make that decision. Bless the invitation, Father. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.